Blog Talk Radio.
I just played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 on my cell phone, and I have like every Ramon song stuck in my head, so that's why we went with that one today.
Did you win?
I got up to the second skate park. The game is so much harder than I remember. I know they just came out with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5, so I'm pretty pumped to pick that up because I'm a video game nerd now. We're doing this now.
Okay.
It's a special episode today, Joe. Real special episode. It's the 2015 year-end All Night Long award show. Ooh, the All Night Long award show. All Night Award Show Long spells anal.
You know, actually, just it's 60 minutes. Just anybody listening, is that actually going to be long? I don't want anybody to tune in. You know, I mean, I want to make sure everybody understands.
That's true. I want everybody to listen. We got a caller on the line already. Is that true?
I think we do. Brian, is that you, buddy? Are you there?
We do not have Brian on the line. It says we have Brian on the line, but we don't have Brian on the line. So technical difficulties are just abounding lately, huh?
This whole thing was a crapshoot right now.
I'm not even sure if people can hear us, actually, now that I think about it. I know The Natural is listening, so if she can hear us, give us a call or let us know. Brian, maybe Brian's going to be calling back. In the meantime,
why don't you give people a rundown of what we're going to do on this
Okay, this is a special episode in the, 2015 is coming to an end. It was a good year for us. It was the debut, man. It was a real good year for us here. So what we're going to do is we got a couple of categories here, and we're going to give our picks on what we think the year in review was in professional wrestling. I believe there's about 6-7 categories, and we're going to give our thoughts.
Okay. Sounds good.
Do we have Brian back on the line?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
There he is. What's up, big guy? Welcome back.
All right. I heard you guys the whole way. You couldn't hear me, so F technology. But I'm ready. I'm ready to do this.
Frankly, Brian, I blame Russo.
Ouch.
I just, Brian, listen, I don't want you to take it personally. I had to get it out of the way.
All right, I appreciate that. Get it out.
We're done. We're done with the Russo bashing now. We're on to bigger and better things. So I guess the best way to do this is I'm going to go ahead and list the categories here and list the order in which we're going to talk about them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 categories. We're going to talk about in a row the most improved Wrestler of the Year, Biggest Disappointment of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Superstar of the Year, Markout Moment of the Year, Feud of the Year, Card of the Year, and the Match of the Year. For each category, we're going to list our top choice. If you want, we can list an honorable mention or two, but we don't want to take up too much time. It's only an hour show. And then Match of the Year, I think Brian said you wanted to pick your top three. If you want to do it, that's fine. If we could all probably agree on maybe pulling out three. And this is not just WWE for all the marks out there. It's not, you know, it's all the entire sports entertainment industry except for TNA. Because nobody.
It's not entertaining.
Yeah, nobody watches that and nothing. So how do you guys want to do it? Do you want to snake it? Do you want to start somewhere? You tell me how you want to do it.
Yeah, why don't we do it similar like when we do our picks for the pay-per-view. So we'll start with a category and then we'll just rotate who goes first and go around for all three of us. That way we're kind of mixing it up along the way.
Perfect. All right. Brian, since you are calling in, I would like to hear your pick for the most improved wrestler of the year.
Okay, I'm going to fly right off the bat. My most improved wrestler is a Mr. Jay Lethal. I always thought he was a really good wrestler. Wasn't really sure if he could carry a promotion, be the world champion. Boy, has he. So, yeah, Jay Lethal, most improved wrestler of 2015.
I think that's a great pick, Joe.
I was going to go with Adam Page from ROH. I think a year ago he was sort of like the young, the, whatever it was, the young boy in the decade wasn't really doing a whole lot. But this past year, they kind of built him up. He had some good matches with Roderick Strong early on in the year, and then ended up getting into a feud with ACH and had some good matches on pay-per-view, and then ended up in a feud with Jay Briscoe later on. So I think he got a lot more exposure and high-profile matches in ROH, and I think he's a good wrestler. So I think he's my guy for most improved wrestler this year.
Good call. I completely agree with you. Mine is, I'm going to go with the tag team here, and I'm going to say the most improved is going to be the Kingdom, the team of Michael Bennett and Matt Taven. Last year, Taven was, you know, had the TV title for a while, and he was kind of twirling into obscurity until he found the Kingdom. And the team of Michael Bennett, him and Maria, I mean, they were over, but they weren't as over as they are this year, and they capped it off by winning the Ring of Honor tag titles. So they get my vote for the most improved of the year. Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw out, Brian?
You're going to laugh at this, but I was considering Nikki Bella. I think she's improved greatly. We've talked about it before. She started as somebody who walked people to the ring, and now she's a credible women's champion, a Divas champion, whatever you want to call it. Granted, she started very low, but I felt she was one of the most improved wrestlers, but not as much as Jay Lethal, so she gets my honorable mention.
I'm not going to laugh at that at all. I think it's a good idea. Joe, anybody just miss a list?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who I would consider to be most improved. I'm trying to think of anybody in WWE or even NXT. I mean, I'm not really sure. Maybe a guy like Tyler Breeze, somebody like that. You know, he kind of became more of a staple in NXT for a long time. He just recently got called up to the main roster, hasn't really gotten much of an opportunity there yet, but I think he established himself pretty well in NXT after a long run there. So maybe I'll consider him as a, you know, honorable mention.
No, that's fair. And I kind of was going back and forth on it. I think I'll go with Enzo and Big Cass. They were always kind of like a sideshow tag team. And this year they proved themselves as a real worthwhile tag team. Honorable mention goes to them. If we're going to snake it around, I guess it ended. Actually, we'll go to Joe. Joe, why don't you kick this off? And this is going to be the biggest disappointment of the year.
I'll say the Bray Wyatt and Undertaker feud that started at around WrestleMania time and then kicked back up again around Survivor Series. I didn't really think, you know, the build to WrestleMania I thought was not good, because if I remember correctly, Undertaker did not appear until the show itself. So Bray Wyatt had to kind of carry the whole feud himself at that point, which I thought was kind of lame. I mean, not that he didn't do a good job. I just think, you know, him doing it by himself kind of stunk. Undertaker obviously came back and had more appearances later in the year with Brock Lesnar, and then had a tag feud with the Wyatts at Survivor Series, which featured a lot of corny stuff. And you know, both matches, the one-on-one match at Mania and the tag match at Survivor Series, I didn't really think they were very dramatic. And, you know, Undertaker went over in both of them. So, and Wyatt definitely could have used a win. So that's my biggest disappointment, because I feel like there's a lot of potential for that and they didn't come through with anything.
Fair enough. I think many will echo your sentiments on that. For me, the biggest disappointment of the year has easily been the Divas Revolution. So much potential, so many, you know, so many good workers, so many good wrestlers, and you're just getting the same old, you know, the same old stuff every week. And it's just, you know, I don't want to call what they're doing in NXT Divas Revolution. It's not, because that's not what they are. They're professional wrestlers wrestling. It's not part of the Divas Revolution. So, you know, what they're doing in NXT is good for business, but what that's transcribed into onto the main roster has been terrible. I believe we have the Natural calling in, actually. So we have the BK and the Natural on the line. BK, why don't you give us your biggest disappointment of the year?
Joe stole my thunder, but my biggest disappointment is just the booking of Bray Wyatt through the calendar year. He started off red hot, if you remember, in the Royal Rumble. Actually eliminated a ton of people, including Daniel Bryan. And he ended up getting eliminated by Big Show, and it's been all downhill from there. Bray Wyatt's probably, I've said it before, the best professional, complete professional wrestler in WWE. He doesn't know how to book him, so that's my biggest disappointment. The guy could be the number one guy, and he's just another guy because he loses every single match.
I agree, Brian. I really thought we were going to get a new – I think we got teased before Monday. They said there was going to be a new feud for the Wyatt family on Monday Night Raw, and all we got was, you know, Wyatt with the ECW originals, which I wasn't expecting. So that leads us to The Natural. Are you on the line?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Natural. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
What? Well, let's just get you right in there. I know you got a couple. I know you don't want to talk about everything. I know you got a couple of areas you'd like to touch on. But what was your biggest disappointment of the year?
Well, I think that Brian, you make a great point with Bray Wyatt because I am such a mark for Bray Wyatt. But I guess my biggest disappointment would be how they used Kevin Owens. I feel like the inconsistencies, he's walking away from matches. He's like, I don't know, he's kind of being a little bitch sometimes, and that just doesn't sit right with me. Like, I love Kevin Owens, and I feel like they don't know how to use him. I feel like they don't know how to use, like, great heels in general. Like, Bray Wyatt could really be something, like, phenomenal. He's great in the ring, but, like, he's just not booked correctly at all. There are moments where they make him look really strong, and then there are moments where he looks, you know, just awful. So I would say how they use Kevin Owens would be my biggest disappointment.
Brian, how do you respond to that?
I'm going to throw a flag, as you would say, Mike. Is that right? Am I allowed to throw the flag?
Yeah, the flag is actually the flag. We need to get like an actual flag so we could throw it, or maybe like a sound bite. But go ahead, man. The flag is yours.
I agree with a point to what The Natural said. After the Cena feud, they kind of he toiled, but I think recently the last couple months they've been booking him very good. He had the IC title, made it relevant. He lost the IC title, which we all agreed on was because he's going to go on to bigger, better things. And since he's lost the IC title, he's actually been booked as strong as ever. So that's why I disagree. I think he's on the clear upswing up.
Is he on to bigger and better things, or is he just going to fizzle out? Like, the WWE pretty much has a pretty consistent record of, like, breaking my heart. So I'm kind of, like, ready for the letdown, if you will.
I'm going to make a guarantee right here that Kevin Owens will be either in a very high-profile match at Mania, or he'll be in a good mid-card match where he dominates and looks dominant in the match, which means he'll look good after Mania, basically. So, flag thrown.
Natural, I would absolutely agree with you if we were talking about this maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago. I will agree with Brian that the booking since he lost the title has made him look good. I think he probably looked the best on the Monday Night Raw after he lost the title and than he ever has. But, I mean, you know, if you are looking at 2015 as a whole, I still think him making his debut and getting the title, you know, I can see where you're coming from. I can see both points. But, you know, like Brian says, I guess we're going to have to wait and see where, you know, where that takes us. I guess after that, we can move on to – let's get the next category where we're talking about Tag Team of the Year. I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off, and I know – this was tough for me. I would love to say Red Dragon, but I'm going to say Tag Team of the Year has been the Young Bucks. Red Dragon, they lost the titles early in the year. They did a lot of good stuff in New Japan, but as of late – Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly have been singles matches. So I can't in good conscience say that the Young Bucks have been teaming all year and they have been stealing the show everywhere they go. Ring of Honor as of late, New Japan, they're just, you know, you can't bet against the Bucks, and who knows what's going to happen. I have a feeling they might take the tag titles off Red Dragon at Wrestle Kingdom 10, but we'll see. Tag Team of the Year for me goes to the Young Bucks. Joe?
It's got to be New Day for me. I think they just, you know, they rose to prominence on Raw. They're consistently one of the most entertaining parts of Raw every week. They won the tag titles twice. You know, they have good matches. They've improved on the microphone. You know, so to me, they're a team that stood out amongst others. Like you mentioned, good points about Red Dragon. They started the year as the champs, and they lost it, and they kind of fizzled out as far as the tag team was concerned, and then it's splitting into singles for the most part lately. And I like the Bucks as well. They would have probably been my runner-up, but they didn't win, I think, the ROH titles this year. I think if they would have done that, maybe would have put them over the top for me. So
that's fair.
I'm going to go with New Day.
Natural, it's on you.
Well, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and, you know, I guess from the ignorant standpoint, I am really enjoying the Usos and their chemistry. So I think they've always consistently had, like, great in-ring chemistry. And I would say in more recent, like, recently you've seen them a lot more than throughout the whole year. So I don't know if, like, they can even be considered that per se. But, you know, I'm a mark for Roman Reigns. You know, I'm a mark for Dean Ambrose. I like their in-ring chemistry. So throughout the year, I would say I'm good with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
Brian, do you have any of those flags left?
I knew you were going to flag me because you flagged me before we even – when we had this discussion about the Usos and also about, you know, the Roman. So I was kind of anticipating it.
Well, it's all about having opinions, Brian. Go ahead.
I'm just going to back up the natural that I love the Usos as well. I feel like they need something new, which is not their fault. In-ring, I feel they're great as well. They just need a fresh feud, but that's not the problem. But I'll go on. I'm going to go with Joe and go with the power of positivity. And it's a new day. Yes, it is. Everything he said. I'm not even going to bother saying it because they're currently the best tag team out there right now. Enough said. We can move on.
So matter-of-factly, I love it. You know, I can see why you would say the new day to me. And, you know, just to stop here for a second, I mean, that's what's awesome about, you know, like a year on like a panel like this, everybody has their own criteria, what they judge on. Me, I'm pretty much judging it based purely on wrestling matches, where I feel like, Brian, you're more like the entire thing, what they're doing with the gimmick, and that's cool. And that's, you know, it's about being positive, Brian. It's about appreciating each other's point of view. And I think we do that here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
You know what I think it is for me too? I love the Young Bucks. They're probably for the last 5 years, the best tag team all around. It's one of those things where, like, LeBron James wins the MVP every year. And then last year, Steph Curry comes out of nowhere to be almost as good, if not as good. So it's like the New Day jumped up so much. That's why, instead of giving it to the Young Bucks again, give it to the New Day.
Understood. You know, I have no issues with you guys' choice of the New Day. Mark out moment of the year. I will spearhead this, and I will say the one that really made me jump out of my seat when I watched it was Super Dragon returning at PWG. I know it's a little bit obscure, but the pop that he got, you know, when he came out to face off against Roderick Strong and then turned on poor referee and they destroyed everybody. I think that was like the jaw dropping, oh my God, holy S chant. So for me, it's going to be Super Dragon's return. Joe?
For me, it was Jay Lethal beating Jay Briscoe for the ROH title. I was there in person and marked out, so I think that tops the list for me. It just was one of those things where we weren't sure who was going to win. So, and Briscoe's undefeated streak for a long time being ended was a big deal to me. So that's mine. I would say my runner-up, and hopefully I'm not stealing anybody's thunder. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say my runner-up.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm going to let Brian do his.
Yeah. Brian, go ahead.
Well, just like I have a feeling Joe was going to steal my thunder there, so I'm glad he stopped. But my mark-out moment is definitely Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania. I was there live. It was an amazing experience. I jumped like a little girl. That's a shoot.
Flag.
Hugged
Brian,
the guy next to me.
I'm throwing a flag. I'm calling a flag on the play.
Okay.
I think your number one markout moment of the year was when Kevin Owens walked out on Raw to challenge Cena.
That was number two. Just the fact that was, if you guys, Joe could back me up on this, I believe since Rollins won the Money in the Bank, I declared he was going to cash in at Mania before I even knew where I was going. The fact that I was there, I called it, and it was just such a magical like moment. When I say I marked out, I jumped up and down from the moment he cashed in to the moment he won the belt. But yes, I do love Owens too. That was would be my honorable mention for sure.
I guess being there, you know, you definitely add something to it. Natural mark out moment of the year.
Oh, you've seen me mark out to this when Bray Wyatt, Monday Night Raw, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, their match where Bray throws Tony Nese. I not just that moment, but I pretty much just marked out the whole match. They did a lot of like out of ring stuff, which I think was great going into the crowd. It was something different. And I just felt like both of them just like there was a lot of like back and forth with which each of them were just like shining in different moments. So I love both of them. I know that, you know, there are a couple people who are going to say like I'm on like the Roman Reigns train, like because, you know, he's so over right now, but it's more just chemistry between him and Bray Wyatt. And I love Bray Wyatt in the ring. I think he's, you know, he's one of the best heels out there now. And the feud was just, I think it was great for WWE. And I think getting them out in the crowd and a little cameo with Tony Nese was, you know, kind of epic for me. So
I do have to give you credit for calling that out. You know, I didn't even notice that. So kudos. I'm going to take a back seat on this one because I'm not even sure what I'm going to say. So let's start off with Brian for feud of the year.
Okay, this one was the toughest one by far. I have three. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'll just give my one. I don't want to give somebody's thunder. This is going to be controversial, but controversy breeds cash. My feud of the year is Sasha Banks and Bayley down in NXT. I thought there was like a 2-year build almost for Bayley, mostly with Sasha. The matches were some of the best matches of the year. Almost, you know, also mark out moments when Bayley won in Brooklyn. The place just erupted. So I'm sure I'll get a flag, but that's my feud of the year. Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Joe?
This was a tough one, and I know Brian and I were kind of talking about it earlier today. But I'm going to go with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn from earlier in the year in NXT. I know it kind of started in December of last year when Zayn won the NXT championship from Neville and then Owens turned on him right away. But their feud basically was the headliner in NXT for the first, I guess, about 4 months of the year. They headlined two takeover shows. I like the feud because, you know, it had that personal, you know, backstory to it from those guys having been friends for a long time and then wrestling together on the indies and all things like that, and they weave that into the story as part of the, you know, the history of it. And you know, I just remember some good promos and good segments and good interviews and things like that, and great matches as well. So Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn from NXT is my feud of the year.
Natural, what do you think?
Well, I guess I should have swapped my feud of the year with my mark out moment because I pretty much mark out every time, you know, something great happens on WWE. But the Seth Rollins John Cena match where, you know, Cena had his nose shoved into his face. Honestly, like, it wasn't so much that, like, Cena had his nose broken. It was that I've never seen John Cena wrestle so hard in my life. From that, like, I feel like that just sparked in him, like, some, like, real raw, like, emotion, and he just, like, he trucked through it, but he wrestled better than I've ever seen him. So, that feud, and then, you know, the Bray and Roman Reigns feud was probably my favorite. So I'd say both, if I could choose to.
Shout out to Jon Stewart, if we're throwing that out there, by the way.
Oh, God. He's the only reason that happens. So wait, that was match of the year and feud of the year all in one?
Yeah, we'll just combine.
Okay.
Efficiency.
Key. I'll try to keep it back on course here. Feud of the year for me, it wasn't a very long feud, but the meaning behind it was very important. I'm going to go with Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. This story had been Jay Briscoe hadn't been pinned in how long was it? I don't remember.
Two and a half years or something.
Jay Briscoe hadn't been pinned and Jay Lethal hadn't been pinned in 2 years. It was title versus title. And it felt like it was important. The build-up, you know, the video packages, and, you know, which can lend credence to Joe's choice of Markout Moment of the Year is when Jay Lethal won it. I think that goes to show how important that feud was. And for me, definitely, I would say Feud of the Year, Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. I guess, let's see where we're at in here. What else do we have? Markout Feud of the Year. We'll go Match of the Year, then we'll finish up with Card of the Year. Want to do that?
Yeah. Whatever
yeah. So Match of the Year, the Natural already, she already took us there. So, you know, I will say that match you brought up was Cena versus Rollins. That was on Raw, I believe. The one you're talking about when he broke his nose, that was on Raw. That was my third runner-up. I'm just going to give my match of the year, and then we'll get into it. Nakamura versus Okada. Forget what. That was maybe the finals of the G1 Climax. That was my match of the year. I watched that match like 3 or 4 times. It was a half-hour classic, and it's not the first time, and it will not be the last time that Nakamura and Okada put on a great match, but that one that was something. That one had everything, had a little bit of interference, but it was more just a two guys, Grin and Barrett, beating the holy hell out of each other for 30 minutes with a great crowd. So for me, that was a match of the year. Joe?
I'll go with Kevin Owens versus John Cena from Elimination Chamber. That was Owens' first pay-per-view matchup on the main roster. Obviously, he got the win there. That was the only win he got over Cena in that feud. That's a topic for another day. But I thought just the way that the match, obviously, it was a really good match. It was surprising, I think, at least to some or a lot of us, that they let Owens win the match cleanly. And just in terms of at least temporarily making a star out of Kevin Owens on the main roster, at least for a few months before he got kind of neutered a little bit. Now they're building him back up. But
neutered. Nice term.
Yeah. So I just think, like, you know, the quality of the match, the build up to it, the result, and then the, you know, the kind of the rise to prominence of Kevin Owens on the main roster. I think that's why it becomes the match of the year for me.
Brian?
Well, I'm going to give you my top six, so deal with it. Number six, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, the WrestleMania 31 main event. I thought that really felt like a big fight. Going in, there was not much hype to it, but during it, it felt like an actual fight, like a knockdown, drag them out war. Number five, I'm going to surprise some people here. I'm going to go with Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, if you guys even remember that match. Feels like it was forever ago. That was Reigns' first great match in WWE, so had to put it on there. Number four, Owens Cena, like Joe said. Don't need to re-talk about that. Number three is going to be Adrian Neville versus Finn Balor, which was a number one contender match from one of the NXT TakeOver specials. I don't remember exactly which one, but phenomenal match. Number two, Sasha Banks versus Bayley, which I already talked about. Don't need to go on. And the number one, which is the greatest triple threat match of all time, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the Royal Rumble. So if it's the greatest triple threat match of all time, why wouldn't it be the number one match of the year?
If by of all time, do you mean part of 2015?
Nope. I mean, probably the greatest triple threat match of all time. Sticking to it.
Obviously, you've never seen Shane Douglas versus Terry Funk versus Sabu at the night the line was crossed, 1994, Brian. I mean, if you could just do a little bit of research. No, I'm just kidding. That was a great match, and I'm not gonna fault you for it, and I appreciate you having your opinion, pal. So that'll lead us into the best pay-per-view event. I can't even say pay-per-view anymore. The best card of the year in total, the best event of the year. Brian, you had a top 94 for the last one. What do you got for this one?
This was a tough one, but I'm assuming we're going from top to bottom, right? Not just like for the top card, right? Full card.
I mean, the way I booked it, the way I looked at it was what card all year did I enjoy the most, top to bottom?
Right. Okay, this one for me is going to be WrestleMania 31. Because top to bottom, the pre-show matches were actually really fun. Had the tag match and then the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was actually really good. Big Show won, but we'll forget about that. And the rest of the card, I really wasn't a bad match on the card, and some had some crazy moments. Had the first ever Mania cash in. That NWO versus DX was just great for nostalgia value. So Mania 31, I saw it live. I've watched it twice in its entirety since on the network. So number one card of the year. Book it.
Joe, what do you got?
I'll go with NXT TakeOver Brooklyn as the card of the year. I don't know, it was NXT's biggest show to that point, and it seemed like, you know, all the reviews and everything, just and even just watching it at home the next day, they really had a home run with it. A lot of great matches on it. They had the ladder match main event, right? Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. That was the Sasha Banks and Bayley women's title match where Bayley won the championship. Vaughn Villains won the tag team championship. I think it was Tyler Breeze and Jushin Liger. So there was a lot of good stuff on that show, and very well received by the crowd, you know, in up in Brooklyn. So I'm going to go with that one as my card of the year.
Natural, what do you got for us?
I'm going to go with Brian on this one, with WrestleMania. I would say up to the only pay-per-views up to that point that I'd only really been, you know, exposed to were Royal Rumble in January, and then WrestleMania. And I was kind of intrigued by the whole thing. I didn't really know too much about, like, too many of the matches or whatnot, but looking back now and kind of seeing how everything fits together, like, I think it was, you know, Seth Rollins cashing in was, I was pissed from the beginning that happened. So the fact that it even, like, you know, sparked some kind of emotion is good booking. So I'm going to go to WrestleMania.
Popular choice?
Hell yes.
I'm torn, and maybe just because it's fresh in my mind, but I'm going to go with top to bottom. I enjoyed Ring of Honor Final Battle 15 the most this year. I think in terms of a pure wrestling card, there really wasn't a bad match on it. The only match I had a problem with was the Kingdom versus War Machine, but we found out why. There were lots of injuries going into that match. Two finishes I didn't love in the only one finish I didn't love, which was the Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly match. I would have liked to see a little more finality in that, and the Roderick Strong versus Bobby Fish match, but I could see why they did it. But just, you know, to me, as I'm sure everybody listening knows, you know, wrestling is really what I enjoyed the wrestling aspect, and I think from a professional wrestling standpoint, that night of wrestling was just, you know, the best you'll find in any card this year. I mean, any pay-per-view that starts with the All Night Express versus the Briscoes versus the Young Bucks has my vote. So for me, card of the year. Tight, sorry. So for me, card of the year was Ring of Honor Final Battle 2015. That leads us into, I mean, the big one, the one that everybody paid to see, the one that everybody wants to know about. 2015 Wrestler of the Year. Natural, why don't you start us off?
God, no pressure. I don't even know. No, I mean, you asked me this before, and I honestly, like, I really don't know who I would choose. Are there, you know, a list that I could say that I'm intrigued by? Yeah, but I don't
actually.
I don't even want
natural. Do me a favor. Hold on one second. There actually is a list.
Roman Reigns, the guy has lots to say.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was it was coming. But I really wouldn't even be able to choose. I do think though. Last night on the Slammy Awards. Neville being best breakout, I think was a great choice, but I wouldn't say that he's like wrestler of the year because I don't think he's being used correctly. But he's a great wrestler and really commanding in most of the matches when he's used properly. But I'm gonna go like, can I just go with like can't choose?
No, we here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast believe in finality. So, your wrestler of the year
is going to have to be Roman Reigns. Is that if I
there,
have
listen,
to choose?
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you have bought into the WWE hype machine. But
okay,
can't
let me
you for
that.
Because
let me
if realistically, I mean, if it was 2 weeks ago, again, it would have been a different story. But I have no problem with the choice of Roman Reigns being Wrestler of the Year, because I will say that I feel like he's worked his ass off. So listen, don't
well,
I want
that's,
you.
That's the whole point. Is that I feel like from the beginning, when I would say at WrestleMania, I was like, ugh, like Roman Reigns, like I hated him wrestling with Dean Ambrose. I felt like Dean Ambrose was constantly like carrying the matches. I used the term clunky quite often. I felt he was like kind of clumsy and like just not really commanding in the ring. And I feel like from the beginning of the year to now, like I think he has emerged. I think he's grown as a wrestler. He needs a lot of work when it comes to cutting promos, because I would rather watch paint dry than listen to any of his promos. But I would say that in ring, and I would say progression throughout, he's really, yeah, you know, he's emerged and he's grown, and I think that's super important. So maybe I'm like over for, you know, he's over and I'm marking out for him, but you know,
stand by your conviction. You're part of the Roman Empire, and there's nothing wrong with that. My wrestler of the year, I'm going to have to say Roderick Strong. I think this is the best year Roderick Strong's ever had. And in terms of consistency, he's done it all. He's had, you know, great matches with Bobby Fish, Nakamura. He had a 60-minute classic with Jay Lethal. He won the Ring of Honor TV title. He is still the PWG heavyweight champion. He's had great matches everywhere he's gone. You know, I saw him wrestle Drew Galloway in front of like 200 people in Deer Park, and it was a great match. And I think in terms of consistency and in terms of, you know, in the ring, to me, it's, you know, it's no question, it's Roderick Strong. Brian?
This was a tough one for me. I want to go Kevin Owens because he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I just couldn't do it. I'm going to go with Seth Rollins because he carried WWE for 9 months throughout the year before he got injured, pretty much. He was in some of the top matches. He was in the top match of the year, which I already stated. He was also in some other great matches. He was in a markout moment. He was in some kind of dumb feuds, if you will, with the whole J&J security thing, but he always put on phenomenal matches on Raw, on the pay-per-view, SmackDown. He came to play every day. Promo skills got a lot better as the year went on. So Seth Rollins it is.
All right. Well, I'll go with Jay Lethal. Seems like the right thing to do. Frankly, I'm kind of disgusted with the three of you for not even bringing it up. But I'll go ahead and just take the lead on that. He was the television champion for about 18 months.
Who did he lose that to?
Roderick Strong.
Okay.
The third time that Roderick Strong, after he couldn't be in the first two. So
persistence is what I admire in a person.
Well,
I admire persistence.
Yeah. Everyone believes in third and fifth chances, right? So,
hey, if Obama gets it, why shouldn't Roderick, huh?
If Donald Trump gets it. Okay.
Make ROH great again.
So Jay Lethal was a TV champion for the bulk of the year, won the ROH World Championship in June at Best in the World over Jay Briscoe, which we talked about earlier. You know, he's, I don't know, just like everything else, right? He had great matches with everybody he's been in the ring with, great gimmick, great act, you know, great champion, but makes the title feel important. So not the other way around, I think. And, you know, they continue to build him up. He just beat AJ Styles at Final Battle. He's going to be taking the title to Japan beginning of next year. So I think he's, you know, one of the hardest working guys as far as wrestling goes right now, and improved his character, improved his skills. And so that's why he's my choice for wrestler of the year.
I have no issue with that. I think it's, you know, a lot of that is how they book him too, and how they book the title to be so important, but booking only gets you so far. And, Jay Lethal is very similar guy to Roderick Strong. When you have him in a match, you know he's going to deliver. I don't remember ever seeing him in a bad match. And, you know, the 60-minute match he had with Roddy was crazy. And even their follow-up match was, you know, when Roddick won the title was awesome. So I think consistency is what, you know, like you said, what, you know, you look for in a wrestler of the year. So, yeah, Jay Lethal, good call.
Yeah, and for the record, number two would have been Roddy for me.
It's funny because number two is going to be Jay for me. Hey, look at that.
And then number three, I would have went with John Cena. I don't know if anybody – I know he wasn't in the world title picture for a portion of the year, but he had those U.S. Open challenges for a long – you know, for a while, and those were always good matches.
Great matches.
No matter who he had.
I was actually going to go with him for most improved, believe it or not. I last minute went with the Kingdom as a farewell. Are there any flags thrown? Do we have any issues? What are we talking about? What's going on here, Brian?
I'll throw a flag for Joe calling me out for not mentioning Jay Lethal. He said he was disgusted with me. I didn't call him the most approved, so just got to throw a little flag on that. But it is what it is. I agree with Cena. He would have been on my top three. Number two, probably, believe it or not, would have been Bayley, because I feel like she is red hot right now at NXT, and people actually care about her, and she's over as a face.
Brian,
which is probably
are you,
the hardest thing to do.
Are you just putting her on these lists because you want to bang her, Brian?
No, I mean, let's be honest. I remember you texted me a week ago saying how great Bayley was, and she's over as a face and a woman. How hard is that? Be honest.
She's a hugger, Brian, and everybody can appreciate a hugger.
You know, she's legit. Is there an actual face that everybody cheers for?
Daniel Bryan. She's actually like the female Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what she is. So, and he's hurt right now, so she takes the spot. It's just the way it is. Deal with it. You don't like it? Come get some.
All right, relax, Lesnar. I'm going to throw out another question here. Let's pretend we're fast forwarding. Pretend we're looking at the 2016 year end awards. Brian, who is going to be your breakout superstar of the year for 2016, and who is going to be your wrestler of the year?
I honestly believe it'll be Kevin Owens for both. I think next year he takes the big step to mainstream superstar and somebody that the company gets behind. He becomes the new Stone Cold or John Cena, if you will, that top guy in the company where everybody either hates him or loves him, gets a reaction from everybody. So I'm going to say both Kevin Owens.
Well, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if that one pays off. 2016, I'm going to say your breakout superstar of the year is going to be Sami Zayn. And I'm going to say that your overall best wrestler of the year is going to be AJ Styles. I feel like he's got one really good year left in him. I think you might even see him in WWE before the end of, before February, March, as much as I would dislike that. And AJ Styles gets an honorable mention for every category mentioned today because I feel bad I didn't put him anywhere. So, Joe, what do you think?
I'll say for a breakout superstar, I'll go with Finn Balor. Seems like he's close to being put up to the main roster sometime soon, so hopefully he gets that opportunity, and I think he'll make the most of it.
You sure you don't want to go with Eva Marie?
That's a good call, but I'm going to stick with Finn on this one. And then for wrestler of the year, that's a tough one. There's so many guys to choose from that are great wrestlers in all the different organizations. I'll just go with Adam Cole because
I'm a big fan. Because why not?
I'm a big fan of Adam Cole. And he seems like he came back from injury this year. I think he's gotten himself back into good wrestling shape. Just had a great match with O'Reilly, as you mentioned earlier. And they should feature him prominently in ROH for a while. So I'll go with him and hopefully getting a lot of good opportunities to show how great of a wrestler he is in 2016.
Yeah, especially since the Kingdom left. I really feel like you are going to see Adam Cole as the main heel in Ring of Honor. I think there's no problem with that. Natural, what do you think?
For breakout, I'm definitely going to agree with Sami Zayn on that. I just think it's like his time, and I love Sami Zayn. And then wrestler of the year, I think if we could do some fantasy booking here, which I tend to just go off on. I would love to see Daniel Bryan as Wrestler of the Year. I don't think he's coming back, unfortunately. And my heart is broken into a million little pieces for that. But if we're fantasy booking here, Wrestler of the Year would be Daniel Bryan. He'll always have my heart, and that's what's important.
I think we all want Daniel Bryan to be, you know, the story of 2016. I hope he can get back, and I hope he can stay healthy. We're still waiting on what the third doctor, whatever the third doctor said. I know Daniel Bryan will always have a spot in the WWE if he wants it, but it seems to me like he still wants to wrestle, you know? Could you imagine Daniel Bryan returning to Ring of Honor in 2016? That would be that'd be your markout moment of the year for me, for sure. But, I mean, aside from that, I think the landscape looks good in 2016. I think, you know, Royal Rumble is real soon, and Royal Rumble really kind of dictates how the year is going to be. For example, last year, you know, you could have booked Roman Reigns ruling 2015 like he did. So who knows? Maybe we'll see. I'm hoping we get Sami Zayn return. I'm hoping we get a Sami Zayn Kevin Owens feud. I don't want to say Ring of Honor is in limbo right now, but I know they have a lot of guys up for up whose contract is about to expire. For example, the Kingdom just left, or Michael Bennett and Maria left, and who cares about Taven? I think Taven is up in February or March. So Michael Bennett and Maria were saying they were going to TNA, is what I read, and I can't make heads or tails of that. I really can't. Evolve, Dragon Gate, just Evolve is doing a big tag team tournament in the beginning of January in Florida, so they have a lot of talent coming. And the future is really looking bright for NXT. Finn Balor looks like he'll probably come up to the main roster, although he did say publicly that he doesn't know if the main roster is exactly a step up, which I think we can all agree with. The talent that's coming to NXT, you're looking at guys like Biff Busick, Rich Swann, possibly Gargano, Ciampa, and I have an inside source. It says Tony Nese is as good as signed to Evolve, which would not surprise me. As good as signed to NXT from Evolve, so that I would not be surprised. See, maybe him and Caleb Conley get brought up as a premier athlete brand. I don't know. But it looks like if they do want to bring up three or four guys from NXT, they could easily plug in anybody I just mentioned into the picture down there. So, I mean, I guess we'll have to sit back and tune in, except for Raw. I'm not going to tune in for all of Raw. I'll tune in for SmackDown, though, and the first live SmackDown of the year, which should be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to that, too. So, Joe, what are you looking forward to this year? Eva Marie?
No, not Eva Marie.
Nia Jax?
No, not Nia Jax either. That's tough. I don't know. I guess I'm looking to see. You know, I'm interested to see, and we've talked about it a little bit, and I know Brian and I have discussed a bunch of different things around what they're going to do at WrestleMania, because I really don't have a feel like what the main matches are going to be. You know, what Lesnar's going to do, what Undertaker's going to do, what Cena's going to do, what Roman Reigns is going to do, assuming he's still the champion, how Triple H factors in. You know, some of the things that happened, like Rollins' injury and stuff, kind of altering maybe some of the plans they may or may not have had. So I think it's interesting to, you know, at this stage of the game where we're getting to the end of December, we don't really have a good feel for what those matches are going to be yet. So from that angle, I guess I'm looking to see what they put together. And
do you think they even know at this point?
I don't know. It's hard. You read so many different things, you know, like, are they going to do with Cena and Undertaker? Are they going to do Cena and Reigns? You know, they're going to put Lesnar back in the title match again. Is he going to win the Rumble? Like, there's a lot of different things they could do. I don't think they've actually finalized what they want to do yet. I think
they probably will finalize it until Sunday night.
The one thing I guess I'll say is that they're going to continue to try to make Roman Reigns look, try to get him as over as possible, whatever scenario they put him in, you know, whether it's, you know, Brian had mentioned they were thinking about maybe having him wrestle two matches in one night at WrestleMania. That's a possibility that we've read about.
Lethal did it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I think that's the one thing I could say for certainty, that that's what they'll do, whether he, you know, just faces Triple H one-on-one or somebody else. But other than that, I don't know that they have much else laid out as far as what they're going to do for the biggest show of the year. So I guess we'll see.
Here, Brian, what do you think?
I'm looking forward to the Rumble. I think this is the first year in five or six that it should be. It's not obvious who the winner is going to be. The last, like, 4 or 5 years, We all knew Reigns was going to win last year. We all knew Batista was going to win the year before. We all knew Cena was going to win the year before that. This year, I think it's a little more wide open, which is pretty cool. I think, as I've been saying, I think Owens is a definite candidate. This Rumble kind of reminds me of 95, where Shawn Michaels won kind of out of nowhere and really elevated him to be, you know, the top of the card. I think it could be the same thing for Owens. I'm looking forward to that. And same thing with Mania. Looking forward to it, like always. Curious what Joe was just saying. The card's wide open, which is pretty cool. Usually right now we know the whole card. Looking forward to seeing where they go.
Natural, what about you? What are you excited for?
Despite Brian throwing the flag in the beginning of this episode, I'm going to say that we're agreeing on quite a few things today, and I'm pretty excited for Royal Rumble. I like Royal Rumble in general. I love, you know, having, you know, just one after another of kind of like a who's coming out next, and, you know, this one's kind of a little bit unpredictable. If Daniel Bryan does come out in Royal Rumble, I'm going to mark out harder than I marked out when I told Chris Hero that we were now part of World Series Tag Team. Like, so, pretty excited about that.
Yeah, the Rumble's always good because you get a lot of the returns, you get a lot of, you know, surprises. I think you'll definitely see Sami Zayn in the Rumble. As far as, like, the returning guys, I don't know. Oh, and markout moment of the year for me has to go to Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer back on TV in 2015 getting a win over Eric Rowan. Good for you, Dreamer. Pretty pumped. And I'm excited to see where Joey Ryan's U-Porn sponsorship is going to go. So kudos to him for being the king of dong style.
Can I fantasy book Royal Rumble real quick?
Of course, Brian.
All right, this is never going to happen, but talk about major heat. You have Daniel Bryan be the 30th entrant. Roof explodes. Everybody expects him to win. Final two, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan. Kevin Owens wins the Rumble by eliminating Daniel Bryan, setting him up to be the top heel in the company. What do you guys think?
That's good booking.
There you go. Maybe you guys can book it. Or even better, you could have Daniel Bryan eliminate Owens and, D-Bry and let's say Lesnar left, and then Owens comes in and tosses him out afterwards. That'd be even worse.
I'm gonna make a prediction for all the fans out there, and I would say this is a bold prediction. But Kevin Owens will be involved with one of three matches at Mania, either Brock versus Brock Lesnar, versus Roman Reigns for the belts with him winning Rumble, or versus The Undertaker, which I think is a pretty bold prediction. But it will happen, I guarantee it.
Brian, as much as I thought this was the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast and the Roderick Strong Hour, I think it is now officially the Kevin Owens Hour. I would still want to see him versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, but that's just me.
Don't you think he's kind of above Sami Zayn for now? Like, Sami Zayn has to be built up to get on Kevin Owens' level.
Can I throw a flag that way?
Absolutely. I'm actually throwing another flag on there because Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens was a nobody in NXT to the NXT WWE Universe, and Sami Zayn won the title and graciously allowed Kevin Owens to be thrust into the title picture. The least he could do is the same for Zayn.
Well, let's be honest. This is not up to Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn. This is up to Vince McMahon. And I think in Vince McMahon's eyes, Sami Zayn is not on a Kevin Owens level for Mania. And on the other side, it could be Vince McMahon thinks Kevin Owens is not on the Brock Lesnar level for Mania, which is also very true. But that's just the way I look at it.
Looks like you're covered in flags, Brian. You are covered in flags right now.
I want to see Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. I just don't think it needs to happen to Mania. I think me and Joe have talked. I think it should be one of those feuds where it starts off at like a SummerSlam and builds all the way for even like a year and a half to the next Mania. Just keeps on building, until they finally I don't think they need to rush a Mania match this year and kind of ruin it. I think it should be in a huge match at Mania 33 or 34.
I mean, that's long-term booking, and you know as well as I do, as well as everybody listening to this podcast, that WWE does not have the patience for that. So, I mean, I don't care if I see the match at a house show. I just want to see the match. And as far as Kevin Owens, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to make him be the top heel or if they're trying to have the United League of Nations. I don't know the name, but United Nations?
League of Nations.
The League of Nations, if they're going for them to be top heels, like Rusev is a glorified jobber right now, and Bad News Barrett's injured but around, and Sheamus is I don't know what the long term plan is for really any of that. So I guess I'll have to wait and see. I think Royal Rumble will be a good barometer of where we're going to be by Mania time. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Good word, barometer.
I looked it up. Looked it up today. Thanks.
Urban Dictionary.
Dictionary.com.
Oh.
I have a Dictionary.com app.
Webster's,
yeah. I also looked up Turnt and Ratchet. Those were on Urban Dictionary. Coincidentally, I don't fit either one of those, you know, definitions.
What does Turnt mean?
Turnt?
Like a turned left in my car?
No. It's like you got turned up. I read it. I still don't know what it means.
Yeah. Carrie, what does that mean?
Like if you turned down for what?
Yeah, she's what? I got yeah. What does that mean?
That like I don't know that you're. Why am I being asked this? I have no idea.
Carrie, how many cookies did you eat during this podcast?
Did you have any? I mean, let's talk about that. Can we like promote
Here's the thing. Might have left them at home.
Well, there it is then. Let's just say I'm not turned down for that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sell that one later.
Where's my cookies?
Same place mine are, Brian. Same place mine. Mike accidentally, air quotes, left them at home. When Carrie spent all this time making cookies for us, he accidentally, air quote, close air quote, left them at the house.
Yeah, they were sectioned off in like a nice little decorative holiday Christmas cheer box. They were made with love, and that's all that matters.
I can feel it coming through the airwaves. I can feel it. So we appreciate it.
I don't know what to say.
I swear to God, I do not need this right now, okay?
On that note,
well,
it's been a lot of
I
fun,
hear you.
Dicks. Well, I want to appreciate you guys for coming on the show and calling in and listening. I know it's an hour long, and I think we did a good job. I really enjoyed talking with, none of you. I thank nobody but myself. And, that's it. I got nothing.
All right. Well, it's been another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And
the cookie free edition.
Suck it, Brian.
Suck it, Trebek.
You guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and till next time, they're the natural. They're Brian, Big BK, the Stallion, the Nature Boy, and the Enforcer. We're signing off.